book of Matthew, chapter number 2. Book of Matthew, chapter number 2. Brother Ron, I got a peaceful bottle up here, and I wouldn't really mind drinking after who it was. I don't guess, but I'll tell you, I know everyone is very familiar with this passage of Scripture that I'm going to read tonight. I don't really know if it's a New Year's message, and I preached it back this year a few weeks ago, might have been a month ago. I told my church, I said, I don't want to preach just one message about the Lord's birth. I said, I'd like to preach several if the Lord had helped me. And so I did. I preached 3 or 4, I guess it was, most I ever preached around it, Christmas. But I think the truth that's involved in it would help us next year for sure. So you know the account given here, the book of Matthew chapter number 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor and shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently. I was reading this a little bit ago. You know, there he was, wicked, trying to find the Lord. Would that God's people had searched diligently. And would that sin had searched diligently for this young child. When they found him, he said, bring word again that I may go and worship him. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them and came until it came and stood over the east where the child was. Let's, fathers, we bow in your presence. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good day. We've enjoyed this day. I enjoyed getting to riding up the road with a good wife. You give me the good time of fellowship we had, the good meal we shared together. Lord, you sure have been good to me, Lord, and I never want to be ungrateful. Thank you, Lord, for this church and Brother Ron, their labor, their sacrifice, their money, everything that they've done. God, would you bless them? But I pray, Lord, now, the next little bit, God, that you'd help us and touch us and make preaching easy, not that, Lord, we might get glory, but somehow we could lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I couldn't hear you good. Did you say 25 or 45, Brother Ron? 45. Okay, then I wanted to be sure. And on that, let me look at my watch. Okay, we got it there. If I can get it off there about 8 o'clock, that ought to be pretty close. I'm interested in verse number 2. I tell you what, I say this, I need to be a better student in the Word, but I love to read devotional books. I love to read daily devotional. And I started off with one, and then I found out Brother Spurgeon had them, and I got one of his, and then he's got one Night and Day, and I got it. And I found out the other day that I can't even think of the guy's name that wrote Amazing Grace. He's got a devotional, Newton, and I sent off and got that book. And then I find one by Sidlow Baxter, and I got that one. And I want to say he's tremendous. And I was reading a thought of his, and he just simply quoted that verse, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now I want to talk to you on that subject tonight. Where is the king? Where is the king? The world's not looking for him. The world has no use for him whatsoever. But I want to say he is the king. Now, I know he's not coming back the first time as the king. But when he comes back later, he is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I told my folks, if you don't know how to ride a horse, you better learn how. Amen. He's coming with the horses in heaven. Somebody said, you're crazy. Read your Bible. I could be wrong about that. You see, the first time he rode that little old donkey in there, that wasn't a real macaw. But this next time, it'll be the real one. Amen. You know, I believe city people know more about the Bible. I mean, country people know more about the Bible than city people. The Bible said that never a man had rode on this little old donkey. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you what, you just don't do that. Amen. I mean, I plowed mules, rode on them, did everything else. We had to try a rodeo one time, caught the calves out, tried to ride them. You know, you don't get on a donkey or a mule or a horse that nobody's ever sat on before. Amen. Now, and I'll tell you something else, you don't throw down clothes and break off branches and throw down in front of them neither. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, boy, this one did. I'm talking about the darling Son of God rode him in there because he was the King of the Kings. Did you know the world's view of the king is a lot different than what the wise men were? The Bible said Herod and all Jerusalem was troubled by this the Lord called the king. But the wise men brought him presents. You know, the thieves on the cross had different opinions who he was. One said, if thou be the Son of God, you get yourself down and then get us down. But he wasn't really interested in the Lord. He's just interested in getting his own self down. But the other one asked out with him, said, does thou not fear God, seeing we deserve what we got? He turned to him and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed he was a king. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm glad I bowed before him here. And yonder, I believe I'll again bow before him. He said he has a kingdom, and he does. Oh, listen, can I ask you, where is he at in your life? Where is the king? Does he have preeminence in your life? Do you try the best to honor him and please him? Do you love to spend time with him and fellowship with him? As a preacher said in some other day, and you know about the love of God, John 3:16, and I got to thinking about that. Why is it some people don't love him? Well, I'll tell you, my friend, they don't have his nature. And my friend, they got to get born again. I know a man's love can grow cold, but listen, I believe there'll be that love for the church. Amen. I just love going to church, big church. I've never gone to many big churches, little church. A few people there, a lot of people there. Boy, it's just good to go when he shows up, manifests himself. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but boy, it got out of the backs at church Wednesday night. Amen. Son has a squalling. One old fella couldn't even pray as a crying so hard. This other boy, the Lord sent us a preacher in. Amen. Got run off from his church. Boy, he's been a blessing to us. But I'm going to tell you what, he'll act on. I told him, I said, son, you're ruining me. I said, you come hug my neck, whether it's good or bad, every Sunday night and Wednesday night. He said, preacher, I'm just trying to encourage you. I said, I don't get too used to this. Amen. Boy, I want to tell you, it's a blessing. Boy, I tell you to sit there and weep. But I'm talking about good old hymns. Amen. That's what we got stirred up about, those songs. My friends, oh, listen, the king. I'm glad he is the king. Now, watch this. It's a privilege to be in the king's court. Amen. I got to thinking about that. Some of you, it'd be good if you go back maybe and get an encyclopedia on the internet now and learn about all those kings and their court and what all goes on in that. Boy, it's a privilege to be in the king's court. Now, watch this. And how the access to his abundance. Amen. Boy, I want to tell you something other. He saves you. Surely, my friend, he must have some advantages to be in the king's court. Amen. I want to tell you something that I'm glad. I say this, he's got an army. And he's got an armor. And all you have to do is just put it on. He furnishes armor. And all we have to do is just put it on. You know, I really appreciate our military. It bothers me when people put it down. I tell you what, I love people that's been in the military. Last year, let's see, right the Well, it was Monday after Father's Day, I guess it was. I'd started down a meeting in Louisiana. I guess maybe Sunday night. It was Sunday night. I thought I was going to get to the preacher's house, but I got there bad late. It's a lot further down than I thought it was. And so the next morning, his wife, her and mother was there, and he had to get up and go to work. And she said, "I'll cook you breakfast." I said, "Oh, no, no." I said, "I'll stop." I said, "There'll be McDonald's or something." She said, "There's a brand new. It's not been open very long down here." I said, "I'll stop in there then." And so I did, and I went in there and sat down. And this older black man come in there, and he had a World War II veteran's hat on. And I got to talking to him, and I said, "Was you in the military?" And he said, "Yes, I was." And I said, "Was you in the service and in World War II?" And he said, "Yes, I was." And he told me he fought in the Battle of the Bulge. And I said, "Oh, my soul." I said, "Sir, would you do me the honor, let me buy your breakfast?" He said, "Well, if that's what you want." And I said, "I want to, amen." And I could still kick myself for not going over there and sitting down and talking to him. But I want to say, I believe he said he was about 92 years of age. He was way on up there. But oh, I want to tell you what, it just still does something to me when I see that flag come up. Amen. Well, thank God for our military. And listen, thank God for our men that's in the military. And boy, this king, I'm glad I'm in his court. Amen. I'm glad I'm serving one that I love to serve. Amen. Now, I know I get tired in the way, but I don't get tired of the way. And when he manifests himself, and my friends, when he shows himself, boy, that's what I long to see. Amen. You know, we're not seeing too much conviction anymore. Amen. Here, let me see here. It was back in October. I noticed a young lady there. Most of the time they sit at the back, but she'd come down. Her dad had come with her that day, and her grandmother and her sister and another boy. And boy, I know I can just see it on her, you know. And the following Sunday, the daddy come to me and said, "She wants to get saved." And I said, "Hallelujah." And I said, "I'll talk with you at her church." And I got back there, and I said, "I just want to ask you a question." I said, "God is really dealing with you last Sunday, wasn't he?" She said, "He sure was." And she's very, boy, she's just so reserved. She just don't say anything. Thing, you know, and boy, I tell you what, I like it when a conviction shows up on them, amen. Oh, listen, I ask you, my friend tonight, where is the king in your life? I'm going to give you three things, and I'll be through tonight, and probably be through for 45 minutes, amen. Let somebody else get some more time in, amen. I want to say, first of all, the fact is, he is the king. That is a true fact. He is going to set up his kingdom on this earth, and he is going to rule for 1,000 years. Boy, I'll tell you something. Someone has said that's a 1,000-year honeymoon. It sounds good to me. It's all I know. Amen. But I'll tell you, the thing about that kingdom being set up. And you know, a lot of people say, they said, "If I can just get saved, that's all I'm interested in." I'll be honest. I did want to get saved. And I didn't want to go to hell. Amen. But I don't want to stand before him empty-handed. Amen. And I do know the way you serve him now is going to determine how you serve him and position you have during the millennium, amen. And if you think going to church don't mean anything, and if you think some of these other things just don't mean much, you just keep on, and you're going to see it all go up at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, listen, he is going to rule and reign. I'm going to be there, amen. I don't understand all about it, but he came, my friends, to be the king. And I want to say, he said it first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They rejected him. He set Israel aside. Boy, our president now, he's trying to do everything he can to try to get at him. I'm glad he's going out of office. Amen. Can I say this? I didn't vote for him neither time. Amen. Someone said you ought to keep politics out of it. Well, the Bible said when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And we've been mourning because there's a wicked man been in there. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you. Hey, it still sticks in the craw that she got beat. Amen. That's what gets me. You know, I mean, they just had that. Hey, come on there. And they said, you know, he's got to win the swing state. And he won them. Amen. You know, and they said, well, this has got to happen. And that's got to happen. The Bible said the king's heart is in the Lord's hands. Amen. And I'm glad there's one behind this. And I'll tell you something else. I really like what they said. They said, that's the first time the white working people put a man in office. Amen. And I kind of like that, to be honest with you. And I tell you, I wish that I need to get it, man. There was a talk show. He told how many counties is in America, the number of counties. Then he told how many she won, and then he told how many he won. He said, no wonder it's solid red. He said, he won over 90% of them, amen. Well, I'll tell you what, somebody said he might not be no good. He might not, but I believe he'd be better than she would, amen. Hey, I'm just telling you what I believe tonight, amen. You can vote who you want to. It's a free country, and be wrong if you want to. Amen. But I'm simply saying he is the king. Amen. Oh, I'm glad I got to know him, the king. But I want to tell you, it's wonderful to serve him. Amen. It's wonderful to be in his court, the king. He is the king. Oh, I know the world don't think so. I know the world won't bow to him. I know the world won't acknowledge him. But I want to say, my friend, he is the king. Israel was adulterous wife, but the church is a chaste virgin. Israel thought, my friend, he's going to set up his kingdom then, and he didn't. And they didn't want a suffering king. But my friend, listen, you know, if it had just looked and realized, it's very easy. You know, for a long time, I'll tell you what, I've just got so much help listening to men preach, amen. I really couldn't understand in some ways why that they couldn't recognize who he was. And I heard a preacher preaching one night on Isaiah 53. And he said, watch this now. He said it goes from an animal, the sheep, to a person. He said he uses personal pronouns. And it's in there several times. But they listen, and you know John the Baptist, he turned around and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Not roll it over, but take it away, amen. And I should have been, and then it was prophesied where it would be born and how it would be born. And you know, I was reading that over there in the book of Isaiah where it said, my friend, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth the son. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what, I was over 700 years before he was putting that out there as if it's already happened. And in the mind of God, it was. Amen. Boy, I want to say the fact is, he is the king tonight. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm on his side. Amen. But you know, we was playing football one day, me and my cousin, the two cousins, and these boys, and brothers, you know. And then they got their papa. Them boys had on uniforms and helmets. We didn't have nothing. We was beating the devil out of them. Amen. So they got their papa to come out there, you know, with them. That didn't help a whole lot. He's too old, amen. But boy, listen. Boy, they thought they was going to have it when he come out there and got on their side. But I'm glad he's on my side tonight. I'm glad he's in charge and he's working things. Boy, you know, sometimes I just can't help but you get discouraged. But I found out when he's working, most times you don't see it till it's about over with, amen. He'd be working behind the scenes. You know, it's just amazing. There's some things happen. Over at the church, my wife and her sister was shopping yesterday, I believe it was, and she said, you're not going to believe who we run into. And I said, well, tell me. I'd been out there a time or two and invited them to church, you know. And then she got to talking. They got a little five-year-old girl. And my wife said, man, I think that little girl would really like our Sunday school. And when that preacher, when he joined my church there, he had three little boys, you know, and I just had one little girl before that one, you know. And I had another lady that had two little girls, but she never would come. I guess maybe the age different, but now she's coming, amen. And boy, if we could get that name, boy, that would be a blessing. I wish I just had time to tell you about that family. But boy, it's just interesting. I'm going to go by there and follow up on it if I can, you know, and try to get them to come. And then I went up there to see the good old boys. Every community has some good old boys. I went there. All three of them was drinking Budweiser. And just sitting out there drinking, you know. One of them, he hid it, you know, for a little bit, and them others didn't hide it, so he didn't hide it, you know. I appreciate anybody to respect me, you know, but, I mean, it's their yard, their place, they can do what they want to with it, you know. And boy, he said, now, preacher, if I was to come, the roof would fall in. I said, I doubt that. And boy, I got to talk with them, and God put a burden on my heart for my boys. I tell you what, they'll help you any way they can. They'll do anything for you. And who knows, maybe God's going to deal with some of them boys' hearts. Amen. I tell you what, he'll deal with some folks you didn't think. And I'm about to get ahead of myself, and just let me move on to my next point. Amen. Not only the fact he is the king, but number two, you cannot fool the king. You remember over there in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 3, I believe it is, 1 Kings, chapter number 3. You remember that account there? Boy, I went back and I looked at it, you know, and I got to kind of gleaning over a little bit. And then I don't know about you, I'm just talking about myself, preacher. But sometimes, you know, if you done preach something other and you're going somewhere to preach, and here's what I say, Lord, if you really want me to preach it, could I find something that I missed the other time? Amen. And so I read that, and the Bible said, and I'd forgotten about this, that both women were harlots. What they're saying, both women were harlots. And then the Lord nudged my heart and said, it don't matter how bad mom and daddy's been, he still loves them youngins, amen. And I tell you what, I've seen some that come from bad backgrounds, amen. I mean, I saw some that come, and it's unbelievable what they come out of. And you know the story, both of these women, the babies were 3 days apart. One of them was 3 days older than the other one. And one of them there, she laid on her baby that night, smothered it. And when she woke up, she took her dead baby and gave it to the other lady and took her live baby. And the Bible said the next morning, when she woke up, she realized how that wasn't her baby. And she said, you got my baby. And said, your baby's dead. And she said, no, sir. And so, man, then, you know, they went back and forth. And they said, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's just go to the king. Amen. And said, we'll see what the king has to say about this. And so the old king, he's known for his wisdom. Amen. That's what he asked God for. Instead of riches and honor, he asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom and riches on top of it. And so you find here that the king, my friend, I want you to notice two things about this. How they decided the factor of whose child was who. Number one, there was a presence of the sword. Amen. Now, he finally just told, he said, is this your baby? She said, yeah. He said, is this your baby? And she said, yeah. He said, I'll tell you what, bring a sword and cut it in half. And said, you take half and you take half. And boy, that real mother said, don't you kill my baby. But you see, there's a sword that determined the factor. And can I say, the sword going to tell whose youngin' you are tonight? Amen. If you really want to know if you're saved or not, if you'll get in that book, it'll let you know. There's some birthmarks over there in the book of 1 John. These things are written. Him that hath that hope purifieth himself. We know we love. We know we pass in death and life because we love the brethren. I'm going to tell you, my friends, that sword is going to tell whose child you are tonight. You can't fool the king. Years ago, we was cutting a track of timber down in the swamp. I guess I didn't know too much about it then, but I'm assuming a straight line went all that just blowed over. I mean, bunches of it. And so we short hauled. Had bobtail trucks, and we went up there to a gravel pit, and had a forklift, and we'd put on like 1,000 or 1,500 feet, and we'd go up there, and then we'd pile it out there, and then the tractor trailer trucks would come, and they'd load it, take it all the way down to Montgomery, Alabama. So, man, we was going by there, and I looked out there in the yard, and there was a riding lawnmower. I'd never had a riding lawnmower. I said, man, this is looking pretty good. So I stopped. I ain't never heard such cussing in all my life. I mean, he's just spitting them out right and left, right and left. And I said, well, how much you want for it? He said, $100. I said, praise God, that sounds good to me, amen. So the next day, I get my brother. He's got a truck, and we go down there to get it. And guess what? That man was a Sunday school teacher. That's what he said. What he told my brother. My brother said, ain't that something? I said, it sure is. You ought to been here yesterday. He said, he wasn't no Sunday school teacher yesterday. Well, I'm going to tell you. Listen, my friend, you can't fool the king. Somebody said it's a bad habit. No, it's a bad heart. out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know them old boys that worked in the woods with me? They'd give anything to kind of get something on, you know. I mean, one of them, you know, when that show come out, Father Murphy, that's what they nicknamed me, Father Murphy. Somebody said, I'm telling you what, I just went on at them, tried to get them to come to church, you know, and all. But I run that old brute husky, and it had a square table on those levers and had that sharp points on it. It had sprockets back here, and it just goes so far. Well, one day one of them sprockets, not the sprocket, but the chain broke, and it jumped a few cogs in it, you know. Well, you're used to going all the way around, but then it shortened it up on one side. And when I'd go around, boy, that thing, I mean, it hit me in the same spot right there. I mean, about three or four times I finally bent my head over an old bone ground and said, "Preacher, cussed." I said, "I didn't do it." I said, "Number one, you couldn't hurt me if I did, amen. The motors are running," but I said, "I didn't." But I'm telling you, they're watching us, aren't they? They're watching us. I want to tell you, my friend, the presence of the sword will determine whose child you are. And I want to say the passion for the son, that mother, she said, "Don't you kill that boy." And I tell you, we as God's people have a passion for the son. Boy, we want to please him. We want to honor him. Boy, I do. I want to make him look big. Amen. I want him to be proud that I'm his child. And I mean, I'm proud of him. But boy, I know sometimes he might not be proud of me. Listen, I want to say you can't fool the king. And the fact is, he is the king. And boy, he is coming back. And he is going to get his church. Amen. Boy, I love that song about that church. Well, wasn't that grand? Amen. Man, I tell you what, I'm glad somebody left the light on. You know, in these days, a lot of churches are closing. If I remember correctly, nationwide, there's about between 30 and 35 churches that's closing on a regular basis. And many of them, they're so few that they can't hardly keep going. I'm just simply, most of the ones that are growing is that it's geared to the young people. And I'm going to just be honest with you. I'm not making excuses, but I'm so tired of hearing what you got to offer them. I tell you, I feel for mamas and daddies, and they would be way ahead to go to some church where the man of God's got a touch on them and the Holy Ghost touches their heart than anything else. I'm afraid there's a lot of them just got head knowledge, and they know nothing about conviction. They know nothing about being in trouble about their life and the sin and where they're headed, what all is going to happen to them. But the fact is, he is the king. Now, something that I forgot a while ago. Let me look and see how I'm doing on my time here. Uh-oh. Probably ain't got time to get this in my... I don't know where that time went to, but you probably know about old Herod anyhow. He was married 9 times, had his own wife and her 2 brothers killed. Here's something other I didn't know. I didn't know he was a full-blooded Jew. According to, I can't even think of that commentary. He's a well-known man. He said that. He said he wanted to be the king. He said he wanted to be a king of them. I want to say the fact is, he's the king. At number 2, you can't fool the king. And then number 3, you will face the king. Boy, you're going to face him. I don't know if y'all parents was this way, but boy, if we really got in trouble, mama say, when your daddy gets home, you're going to get a whooping. Now, your daddy might have whipped you. Daddy whooped us. Now, mama, she'd slap us around, do things, and I never forget one day I come in from the woods, and man, I was all, what do you call that? Let me see, real nervous, stressed out. Yeah, I didn't know that's what it was back then, but that's what I was, man. That saw had been crooking all day, and I'd about broke it off about 3 or 4 times. My blood pressure's up. And if we've ever had a thorn in the flesh before we got city waters, that spring, just as soon as I got out that day, mom said, "Got no water." I went by right there and I said, "I wish I had a stick of dynamite, blow at the kingdom come." Well, I went down there and stopped up the crawdad hole and water's running. I come back up and I said, "Mom, I'm sorry what I said a while ago. I didn't mean that." I said, "I didn't mean to get ill towards you." Oh, she said, "I know that, son." Oh, but boy, she said that. Boy, one day she told us he's going to face it. And I know some of you don't even know what a toe sack is. And I know it must have looked awful funny, but I took that toe sack, poked it down in the seat of my britches. I said, that's going to save some of the shock, amen. I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, as far as I'm, Daddy never whooped me twice. He just made them count. I didn't want no more of them. I'm honest with you. The daddy had a signal. When his face flushed red and he licked that top lip, he wasn't talking no more. So when he gave me that signal, this little boy cut it off. I know he's going to slide that belt out and fold it. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I didn't want to face him that day. I didn't want to face him. But the Bible said we're going to all stand before the judgment seat and give an account. Watch this now, how you've lived. Watch this now. Did you help steady someone in their walk, or did you cause them to stumble? Our life, it will be brought into question. Our love, how, my friend, we behaved itself, and were we like him? So he said there, when he comes back, we're going to be like him. That's been the whole thing since he saved you. He wants you to be like him. He's been working on you to be more like him. You know, I'll tell you what, I have a desire to be more like him. Try to. I know sometimes I do. And then I'll tell you something interesting about him. Your most fervent effort to be rewarded. Little bitty things that you didn't think mattered to nothing. I mean, it's kind of comical. I just thought of it preaching here a while back. You know, it said even the hairs of your head number. And it just dawned on me. I told him, I said, I'm going to get the original count one of these days. That's what he said. He said his number went out. What he said? Boy, they've been falling away pretty rapidly, amen. But, I tell you, the most feeble effort. You know, a lot of times, these ladies that cooked, and some of the men that might have helped them tonight, and you didn't think nothing about it, but heaven's secretaries are putting her down. You might call your preacher up. You might send him a card. You might just give him word of encouragement. And I wonder how it'll be when I see his face. When John saw him, he fed at his feet, he's dead. And I'm not in the ballpark with John. But oh, I tell you, I like that song a while ago. It's someone I'm going to see. I tell you, he done something for me that Mom and Daddy couldn't do. He done something for me the Baptist couldn't do. He changed me. You know, I'm so glad that none of my kids knew the other side of me. I'm glad they don't know that part of me. And I hint around to it, but I never said a lot about it. Never said anything specific because I'm too ashamed of it. Boy, I got to looking at it the other day about divine intervention. When I was about 8, maybe 9 years old, sitting on the second pew of the Concord Baptist Church on Friday night, there's divine intervention. For the first time, I realized I was lost. Fast 9 years, I'm 18 years old. Me and old Johnny Gant, the boy right beside me, played guard right beside me on the football team. We started down there. That's before they had all the nice things to have now, you know. And we started down there, and I told Johnny, I said, I don't give a rip. I'm going to do as I please. And on the football, going to the football field with no preaching, no anything, still small voice said, this ain't Johnny you're talking to. Someone said, I don't believe that preacher. I ain't making it up. Go on 6 months from that August day to Friday night, March 13th, 1970, senior in high school. Going down Highway 171, SS Sport 396, playing country music. Done a lot of things the night before I shouldn't do. Going down to party then, no preaching, no singing, no nothing. Still, as my own voice said, son, you need to get it right. And I said, not tonight. I said, I'm going to party. I'm not going to get right tonight, Lord. I'm talking about divine intervention. He spoke to my heart when there wasn't no preaching. He spoke to my heart when there wasn't no singing. He just loved me enough. He spoke to me. But I want to tell you the first thing when they popped that door open after that wreck, I said, God, don't let me die. Oh, he got my attention. It would have been a lot better if I had listened to him. Can I ask you, has he been dealing with you? Has the king been talking to you lately? You better listen to him. I'm telling you, that divine intervention, listen, can you believe that the God of glory would come where you at, nudge on your heart? Oh, I wonder tonight. The fact is, he is the king. You can't fool the king, and you will face the king. Brother Ron, service is yours.